You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Thomas E. Kennedy is the writer, editor, or translator of over 20 books, including novels, short stories, and essays. He's an award-winning American with a worldwide reputation, and yet he's probably least well-known in the United States. His work has been unavailable here until just recently. That may be because he's lived in Copenhagen, Denmark for the past 30 years. His novel, In the Company of Angels, has just been published by Bloomsbury. It's one of a critically acclaimed quartet of novels set in Copenhagen, and I'm very pleased that it brings him to our show today. Hello.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
When was In the Company of Angels first published in Europe?
It was published by a small press in Galway, in Ireland, in 2004. This small press had read about the book and about the four books that I'm writing about Copenhagen in an interview that I had in a French magazine, and he was very interested by it, and he sort of contacted me, and I thought, well, you know, kind of the Groucho Marx effect. I'm not sure I want to be involved with a publisher that wants to publish me.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, but you were being published in Europe by European publishers.
I was.
By Danish publishers, I assume.
Well, not by Danish publishers, actually by small presses in various countries, but many of them are actually in the United States too. But this fellow in Ireland became very interested in the series of books and decided that he wanted to publish them all. And that was a very nice thing for him to want to do.
Well, Bloomsbury is a British publisher, although you're being published by its U.S. branch.
Well, both by the U.S. branch and the U.K. branch.
Now, why do you think it has taken so long for you to be publisher? You have won a lot of awards, and you have, in one way or another, been involved with the publication of 20 books. This is, usually that means you get some attention paid.
Well, I think that I am known among writers in the United States, among some writers anyway, and among universities, various university writing programs and such. I have somewhat of a reputation, but not known at all to the general public.
Well, do you think things would have been different if you had moved to England, France, or Germany? Denmark is one of those almost invisible countries unless people are going on the tour and hit Copenhagen.
Well, it might have been different, but on the other hand, it was Copenhagen that I fell in love with, and that's the reason I moved there. So it could not have worked out that way.
You were born and raised in Queens, yes. And did you just pass through Copenhagen and say, gee, I like this place?
I was working for an international NGO at the time, and I was sent there for a conference, and it was love at first sight. The Danish light and the Danish architecture and the Danish food and the Danish people I like very much.
Although I'm assuming that when you moved there, you didn't think you'd be staying for so long.
Well, I thought actually the second day I was there, I thought this is where I would like to live. And it took me about 4 years to actually move there. But
it often takes a while for people to write about the place they've moved to.
Absolutely.
Is that what happened with you? Were you writing about America while you were there?
Absolutely. I was writing about, in fact, I didn't begin to be published until I lived in Copenhagen. I had lived in Copenhagen for about 8 years. And I was using all my kind of American experience, my American past. And when I ran out of that and had accumulated new European experiences, I did not know yet enough about Denmark to set a novel in Denmark. And that took about another 10 years.
Well, we in this country are used to seeing novels set in the United States by foreign writers who tell us something about ourselves that we can't see ourselves. Does being an expatriate lend you a certain perspective on life in Denmark that only an outsider might have?
It does seem to. In fact, my books, although they're published in English, are reviewed in the Danish press.
And, well, I'm sure pretty much everybody in Denmark can read English.
They can, absolutely. And invariably, the reviewer will say how interesting it is to see his own country through the eyes of a foreigner.
Well, there are some wonderful descriptions of Copenhagen in this book, including this one. The city was not big, but it coiled and twisted. He was continually surprised to learn that two points he thought were distant from each other, in fact, were in fact back to back.
Yes.
That's the sort of thing that somebody who's learning a city would realize.
Yeah.
Is your quartet of Copenhagen novels a series of connected stories?
They're not. Actually, I wanted to make them four independent novels, and I set each in a different season because the seasons are so markedly different in Copenhagen, especially due to the fact of the light. You know, in the summer, you have the birds begin to sing at 2:30 in the morning, and if you're so fortunate to be at a party until 3 in the morning, you'll walk home in the light.
That's because you're so far north, but at the same time, because of ocean currents, it remains more temperate than it might have otherwise?
Absolutely. It's almost as temperate as Ireland, although they don't leave the animals out all year.
One of the main characters in this book, Nardo, is a Chilean man who was tortured under Pinochet. Is his story based on any real thing?
Well, in the 80s and 90s, I was doing some work for the Torture Rehabilitation Center, which has been founded in Copenhagen in the late 70s and early 80s.
Doing what kind of work?
I was doing translation and editing. And I edited their psychiatric treatment manual, which was full of case histories. And it was so horrifying that I had to do something. I felt, this sounds a little bit melodramatic, but I felt that my soul had been damaged by reading these things, and I really had to do something. So I wrote a short story to get it out of my heart. And then I started thinking, well, maybe this is not ethical to write a short story about this. So I went to the director of the center, the founder of the center, actually, Inge Genefke, who is a Danish physician, a very interesting and energetic and creative woman. And I showed her the story, and I said, Inge, do you think that this is wrong for me to do this? And she read the story, and she said, this is so right for you to do. And in fact, she encouraged me to go on, and with her encouragement, I eventually wrote this novel.
Nardo has a vision that he's visited by angels.
Yes, yes.
Haven't you also referred to angels in other stories that you've written? Is there something about angels and you?
Yes, I like Rilke and like the Finnish composer Rautavaara. I'm quite fascinated by angels.
Nardo sees a doctor for treatment, and his stories of the violence done to him start having an effect on the doctor. Is that common? I mean, you talked about the effect on you.
Yes.
But I'd imagine a doctor who's actually looking at what has been done to somebody's body would also be emotionally turned by it.
Well, in fact, in the rehabilitation center, they have a rule that you're only allowed to have so many hours per week of patient contact because it is so trying and so horrifying. I mean, the things that you are exposed to are very, very powerful.
My guest is Thomas E. Kennedy, whose novel In the Company of Angels is published by Bloomsbury. Another character, Michaela, has also experienced violence.
Yes, she is herself a survivor of a violent marriage. And I thought it would be interesting to try to follow these characters after great pain and great loss and to see if they were capable of love.
Well, we know why people in a dictatorship are tortured. But Michaela asks herself, why do men hit me?
Yes.
Does she ever come up with an answer?
Well, she does come up with a certain set of identifying circumstances. But I think the ultimate answer for her is that that men at times turn to violence as a way of expressing their weakness, and she sort of realizes that at some point, and that helps her to get closer to Bernardo Green or Nardo.
I mentioned earlier you've worked as a translator and an editor. Does doing translation have an effect on your writing?
Well, I really like to do translation.
Because you're getting into other writers' minds, aren't you?
Yes. And I particularly like to translate poetry because I'm not much of a poet. I've written a lot of fiction and a lot of nonfiction, but not very successful as a poet. But the thing is that when you get a really good Danish poem, the poem is already there. So I don't have to go into that dark ignorance of creating a poem. I only have to transpose it from Danish into English.
And since Danish is a Germanic language and actually a root of English, does that make it a little easier to translate than if you were doing it from translating from Russian or one of the Romance languages?
Certainly. And to a certain extent and to a certain degree, it is easy, but there are times when you get deep into the Danish where it's not so easy.
Mm. Now that this book has been published in the country, are there plans to publish the other three of this series and some of the other books?
Well, next year, Bloomsbury will be publishing one other, the volume that's set in the autumn, which is a satire, actually, about a downsizing, a Danish firm that is downsizing.
So that would be written in a very different style?
It's quite a different style. And in fact, my idea in writing these four books was that each one should be in a different style. One of them is noir. It's set in the Danish winter, which is very dark. And the other is kind of innovative, and it's a novel disguised as a guide to the bars of Copenhagen, where each chapter takes place in a different bar.
Can you write English that that the Danish will recognize as also being Danish?
In fact, I do literally translate some Danish idioms and Danish songs and so forth.
And when you teach writing, are you teaching your students in English or in Danish?
Oh, only in English, yes.
Because even after having lived there 30 years, I am assuming there are certain subtleties of language that you will never be able to achieve.
Absolutely. You know, if only I were Joseph Conrad, I would maybe be able to do it, but I can't.
Oh, yeah, it was Conrad Nabokov. Yes, there have been
Nabokov.
A few miraculous writers.
Yes.
And I'm assuming you're working on another novel?
I'm working on a memoir of the 60s when I was hitchhiking around the United States, and it's kind of a peripheral story. I was not very, very hip in the 60s, but I did experience it, and that's what I'm doing now. It's called Chasing Jack.
Thomas E. Kennedy has written more than 20 books and won numerous awards, including the Pushcart Prize and the O. Henry Award for Short Stories, the National Magazine Award, and 2007 the Eric Hoffer Award for the Irish edition of the book we've been discussing, In the Company of Angels. It is published in this country by Bloomsbury, and I want to thank you so much for being on our show today.
Well, thank you very much. ¶¶